Hashem says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts, my ways aren't your ways, and that's it, period. Rav Ben-Ezal says that the Welt gets very nervous when Hashem does something and people don't understand. They have questions against Hashem. Rav Ben-Ezal said that that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that we should have questions about Hashem. Why? Because if not, if we understood everything Hashem did, what would be special? What would be, where is Hashem greater than us? If we can understand every move he makes, we're on the same level as Hashem. The fact that Hashem is so much higher than we are makes it logical to understand that there are moves that Hashem makes that to us seem wrong, and yet it's logical, it's perfect, because when we'll be zeichet to be masig Hashem's greatness, we'll understand why he did this in this item. Right now, that knowledge isn't available. There'll come a time, yoim echod yivod al Hashem, there'll come a time, losid lavoi, when things will become clarified completely, people will be able to understand fully exactly what Hashem did. And Rav Ben-Ezal says that this applies to tzaddikim also. Why? Because tzaddikim mizdamen liyetzron. What is a tzaddik? One who emulates Hashem. So if on Hashem you have shilas, it's obvious that on tzaddikim also you'll have shilas. Elamai, Hashem remains Hashem, and a tzaddik remains a tzaddik. When you'll be zeichet to his level of knowledge, you'll be able to ask questions on him. That's why when people see a battle going on between tzaddikim, whoever it is, regardless of whatever it is, people right away think it's funny. They're going to poke fun at both. You have this whole incident that took place recently with Lubavitch and Satmar, or with Bells, whatever it is, and right away everybody takes that as a heter. Now we can knock both of them. They're both fighting, so they're both wrong. Rav Nosson Zal writes about his father-in-law, that that's how his father-in-law lost out on becoming a scarif whatsoever to Hasidim, because he went to different Talmidim at Baal Shem Tov at the time, and he saw that there was battle between them, feud between them, and he figured if they're fighting, they're both wrong, and that's it. The bottom line was, both of them were greater than he was. They had a Rebbe like the Baal Shem Tov. They knew a lot more about the Torah than he did. Why is there machlekes? Rav Ben-Ezal explains reasons why, what. But a person who's watching this from the outside, Rav Ben-Ezal says, Oizen Shemas Toichachas Chaim, Bechkerev Chachomim Tolin. Whenever you see Tluna, Machlekes, between Chachomim, between Tzadikim, you know why you're seeing it? You know why it's being shown to you? For you to be given Toichacha. They don't have a problem. You're the one who's bad boy. You're being shown this battle to show you, hey, idiot, you must be very bad if it seems to you like these two are in conflict. These two are tzaddikim. They're elu ve'elu divrei chaim. If it appears to you as though there's conflict, it's teichacha to you only. And this is an item that Rav Ben-Ezal talks about in Terah Hay, and it's an answer to a lot of questions, period. Now Rav Ben-Ezal says, summing up, whoever wasn't here for the beginning of the Torah, for the first three quarters of the Torah, you would imagine that a lot of things aren't clear. But in any case, he's summing up what was explained in very much detail before. But Ben-Ezal says, "V'zeh pirush." With this, we can understand where the Torah talks about the yomtiv of Shavuos, the pasuk in the Chumash. The pasuk says, "Ubiyoyim habikurim," on the day of Bikurim, when the Minchas Bikurim was brought. Rav Ben-Ezal says, "Bikurim zebachinas malchus." The term Bikurim refers to Malchus, rulership, Kamei Shekasu, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem says, Af ani b'choyer etnehu, elyoin l'malchei eretz. I will also make him for a b'choyer, a firstborn, over all the kings of the world. B'choyer means first, leader, reishis. So the concept of Bikurim is a concept of Malchus. Now Rav Ben-Ezal says, the Pasuk says, "Ubiyoyim habikurim," on the day of when Bikurim is brought, when the Jews will bring a new mincha to Hashem, mikra kodesh yilachem, that should be a holy day, you're not permitted to do any malacha on that day, which is the yomtiv of Shavuos. This is what the Pasuk says. Now Rav Ben-Ezal showing how in this Pasuk is merumos all the concepts that we spoke about in this Torah. "V'hakrivchem mincha chadosh shel Hashem," ze bechinas Torah chadosh. This refers to a concept of Torah Chadasha, Torah Hashem, Shenaseh Aidei Bechinas HaMalchus Kanal. This refers to the Torah of Hashem, which is created through the Bechina of Malchus, because if you recall, in the beginning of the Torah, Rav Ben-Ezal was discussing the fact that each person who has a Bechinas Malchus has to use the Malchus for the proper purpose, to bringing people close to Hashem, etc., etc. And then Rav Ben-Ezal said he has to draw Arichas Yamim into the Malchus, which is through Torah. Where does this Torah come from? This is where Rav Ben-Ezal began to explain that within the Hastara, That's where the Torah comes from, meaning that a person who will go about rectifying his Bechina of Malchus, the key to it is Torah. He has to find new Torah. The Torah that's available now is fine and dandy. That can't really help his Malchus. In order for his Malchus to become Shalem, he has to find new people who are lacking Torah and draw the Torah that can be gotten from there, from that Hastara. Now Rabbi Elazar says, when does this take place? B'Shavuah Seichem, on Shavuos, Zeh Bechinas Das Kanal. Shavuos is the union of Das, because that's when the Torah was given to Bnei Israel. Bechinas Mon, which is the concept of Mon, Lechem in Hashamayim, that's real Parnosa Benokia, when the Jews didn't have to go out and work at all. The Parnosa came to them. Bechinas Mikveh Shel Shavuos, this is the concept of the Mikveh of Shavuos night. Shehu Mikveh Shel Shar Hanun. The Zohar Kodesh says that the Mikveh of Shavuos night is the Mikveh of the 50th level. When we count the 49 days of Sfira, Bnei Israel are rising in Madregas of Kedusha up to level 49. On Shavuos night, they attain the 50th level, which is the completion of Bina. Bina has in it 50 levels. So on Shavuos night, when a person goes to the mikveh, mikveh is also an inyan of Bina. We mentioned many times because a mikveh has the shear of 40 saw. The measurement of mikveh is 40 saw of water. And the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos is Ben Arboim LeBina. The number 40 always refers to Bina. So we know that mikveh is an inyan of Bina. The mikveh on Shavuos night is a super, super high level of Bina, of Das. Rabbi Nazal says, V'alkein nikra Shavuos Atzeres. This is why the Torah refers to the Yontif of Shavuos as Atzeres many times. Miloshim Malchus. Atzeres is a meaning of rulership. Kamay Shekosev, as the Pasuk says, Ze Yatzer Bi'ami. This one will rule over my nation. The word Yatzer there is used to mean rule, leader. Atzeres is an inyan of Malchus. Rabbi Nezal says, so what is to be done on that yantif? Mikra kodesh yelachem. Rabbi Nezal says, Bechinas ruach hakodesh, Bechinas ruach hadeifekanam. This refers to this pulse which we discussed before. Hainu shetzrichen likrois es hakodesh, Bechinas ruach hadeifekanam. Kedei lehinot seyom yizuam as hanachosh, lametes malachos, atzus ruach kanam. Rabbi Nezal had said previously in the Torah, that a person has to draw this ruach. If a person just sits still, by nature, this stillness is going to lead to this depression. He's going to feel this heaviness, this weighted down feeling. Rabbi Nezal said a person has to have this mikra kodesh to call out to kedusha, and by doing that, that'll make him awake. That'll cause this ruach hadoifek to pulsate within him, to move around, to wake him up, and to draw him closer to Kedusha. What is that in opposition to? That's the opposite of what Hashem, when Adam HaRishon had the Pegam of the Eitz HaDaas, what happened? Hashem gave a gzera be'itzavayin teichalna. From here on in order to earn Parnaso, you're going to have to go through be'itzavayin atzvus. It's going to come very difficult for Bnei Israel to get Parnaso. Rabbi Nezal says that this concept of itzavayin is the concept of the zuhamas hanochosh, the filth of the snake. This came about when the Nochosh convinced Chava to eat from the Eitz HaDaas, which caused Lamentes Klolois. 39 curses were given at the time. The Gemara says Hashem cursed Adam HaRishon, got 10 Klolois, Chava got 10 Klolois, the Nochosh got 10 Klolois, and the ground got 9 Klolois. We have 39 Klolois that came about at that time, which led to the 39 Malachos that we have today on Earth. We know that basically there are 39 types of malacha that are to be done, which are also on Shabbos, which is the Malacha Samishkan, etc., etc. Where does this whole need of work come from? From that Pidam of the Eitz HaDaas, from the 39 curses that were given at that time, which manifested themselves in this form of malacha. Rabbi Nezal says, the Pasuk continues to say, Kol Maleches Avoido Lo Yisasu, that when a person will get to this Madrega, where he'll perfect his Bechinas Malchus, where he'll have this Mikro Kodesh, he'll eliminate this Be'it Savayim, then what happens? Kol Malech HaSavayda Lo Yisasu. He won't have to do this Malech HaSavayda, meaning, Levatel Zuhamas HaNochosh, in order to destroy this filth of the snake, Lamites Malochos, these 39 acts of work, Itzvayim Yodayim, this weighted feeling of the hands, Kamay Shekosu, as the Pasuk says, Ze Yenachameinu Mima Seinu, that this one, when Noach was born, when Noach HaTzadik was born, what does the Pasuk say? His father said about him, this one will console us from our acts and from our depression, from our atzvus. HaKol Kanar, and that says everything, as was explained previously. Because Noach is this, what is a tzaddik called in the Torah many times? Rabbi Nizal brings this a lot of times. Ish asheruach elikim boy. The tzaddik is this bechina of this pulse, this makor of simcha, to constantly liven up people, to engender in them the chiyas of Torah, to be able to make a person alive. This is why when Noach, who is bedafke this bechina of tzaddik, the Pasuk testifies about him, Noach ish tzaddik, tonim hoi v'leroiso. That's why when he was born, we find that these two items being destroyed. The malacha and itzvon yadayim, both of these items.
The malacha.
The whole tirdas haparnasa, like the whole concept of the atzvus within the malacha.
He had it easier. Yeah.
He was. In other words, his father said when he was born, this one will save. Of course, at that time, he was the one who removed to a degree this klal or these 39 klalos. Okay, let's see if we can make a start on the next Torah, because finishing is a little harder. Rabbi Nizal is going to base this Torah on a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, Shalu Talmid of Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, the Talmidim of Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma asked him, Amosai ben David bo, when is Mashiach coming? Could you give us a sign by which we'll know when Mashiach is going to come? Omar Lohen, so Rabbi Yossi answered them, L'chisheyipoil hashar hazeh, when this gate will fall down, v'yivne, and it'll be rebuilt, v'yipoil, it'll fall a second time, v'yivne, and it'll be rebuilt, v'yipoil, and it'll fall a third time, v'ein maspikin livnoisa ad sheben David bo, and they won't get a chance to rebuild it. When it'll come to rebuilding it for the third time, Mashiach will come. They'll just start building it for the third time, Mashiach will come. Rashi Kodesh says on this Gemara, what is this referring to? Hashar hazeh, which gate was he referring to? Shel Aram, the gate of Aram. Aram is Syria. Sheba Aram, hoya ba'is ashar, at that time they were in Syria, they were in Bavel. Ve'im maspikin livnoisei pam shlishis. And Moshe Kodesh points out that they won't succeed in rebuilding it a third time. Before they get to build it a third time, that's when Mashiach is going to come. This is what the Gemara says. Now Rabbi Nizal is going to go into a whole discussion, and then he's going to tie it back in to explain this Gemara. Go ahead. Here, today is the day after Chanukah. Rabbi Nizal in this prayer is going to discuss this the pasuk b'shemen kodshi meshachtiv, referring to the Oseh Hashem. A whole discussion. Rabbi Nizal brings on Kedei Lachas that the last letters of b'shemen kodshi meshachtiv is Yavon, and you'll see how this ties into the whole Torah that we're going to be discussing here. Saying just stand it, we're coming to this now. Okay, Lashon Rabbi Nizal. These are the exact words that Rabbi Nizal had written down. Shalom is Rabbi Yisrael Kisma, Emosai Yovai Ben David. Rabbi Nizal says, Da, you should know, Ki kol dibur v'dibur sheyotzei mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hu nivra mimenu malach. Every single word that comes from Hashem creates a malach. This is a Gemara in Chagigo, where the Gemara says this clearly. V'chol dibur v'dibur nechlak l'kamoni tzutzais. And word of Hashem, Kaviyachol, we know that Hashem's words are like fire. There's a pasuk which says, Haloi koi dvorai ko'esh nu'um Hashem. Hashem says, my words are like fire. Now, when a person speaks, his lips move up and down. When you have fire, and you keep separating it, like, in other words, closing and opening, that causes sparks to come out. Rabbi Nizal says, V'chol dibur v'dibur, each word of Hashem kaviyachol, nechlak l'kamoni tzutzos, is split up into many sparks. B'bechinas, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu Hanavi, kepatish yefoytzei sela, that Hashem's words are like a hammer shattering a stone. Just like when a person takes a sledgehammer and shatters a stone, there are small pieces that shoot out on the side. Kaviyachol, Hashem's dibur, when it strikes, it also has these sparks coming from it. Kemoi came, nivru kama v'kama malachim, l'firoiv hanitzutzos. And Rabbi Nizal says, according to how many sparks come out from the diburim of Hashem, that's what determines the quantity of malachim that's created. The dibur hakoilel es hanitzutzos, nivru malach. A dibur, when a dibur comes forth from Hashem, which encompasses many nitzutzos, from that is created a malach, Shehusar Varish Al Hamalochim Shenivrum and Hanitsutsois. From a dibur that's made up of many nitzutzais, is created a malach who rules over a whole group of malachim who are created from these individual nitzutzais. Okay, Rav Enizal says that from a dibur which is kolel many nitzutzais, is created a malach who is a sar v'roish over the malachim who are created from these individual ones, v'hein machanehu. And these individual malachim are his machne, his group. V'chol malach u'malach humemuno al ezedovar. Rav Enizal says that each malach that serves Hashem is appointed over a specific item. V'afilu kol ilonos v'asabim yesh aleihem emunin. We know that every single tree and every single blade of grass in the world has a malach memuna over it, k'may shamar chazal. As the Medrash says, ein l'cho esed milmato she'ein lo malach milmalo. The Medrash says in Bereshis that there isn't a single blade of grass on earth that doesn't have a malach in Shamayim corresponding to it who stands over it and says, grow, and then it grows. Until that statement is made, the grass doesn't do anything. Now Rav Enizal says, V'chol malach mekabel chiyusoy mehadibor. Where do these malachim draw their chiyus from? What created these malachim? The dibor of Hashem. So what gives them chiyus? Also, dibur, umashpia l'treich hadovor sheninolov. This malach draws his chiyus from the dibur, and he's mashpia chiyus into the item that he's appointed over. If he's appointed over a tree, he's the one who gives that tree spiritual life. We know that what is life? Life isn't a physical item, it's a spiritual item. The Gemara says that when a person passes away, the Gemara says in Nido, that when a person's created, there are three partners. The father provides certain things, the mother provides certain things, and Hashem just provides the neshama. The Gemara says as soon as it comes time for a person to pass away, Hashem says to the father, here's your portion. Says to the mother, here's your portion. I'm just taking what's mine, the neshama. The body is left completely intact. It's just the neshama that's removed, that's the whole chiyus of the item. Which means that it's spiritual. The sustenance of any physical item is a spiritual item. When it comes to trees or grass or any type of item that has a malach mamun over it, that malach is mashpia chiyus into that item. Where does he get his chiyus from? From the dibur of Hashem kaviyachol. As Rav Enizal is going to prove. Rav Enizal says now, Ushnei hakleichos ha'elu, these two powers. Hainu, koyach sheyesh lamalach lekabel. The power that the malach has to receive, to draw chiyus from Hashem. The koyach lahashpia, and the power that the malach has to be mashpia into a tree or into any type of item. Mechunim bebechinas yodayim. These two koyachos are referred to as two hands. Biyad yemin mekabel chiyusoy. Ubiat smoil mashpia. The malach kaviyochel draws with his right and gives with his left. He's mashpia with his left. Bebechinas, as the medrash says, umake oisoy, that the malach strikes the blade of grass, va'emer loy gadel, and he says grow. The medrash says there that there isn't a single blade of grass on earth that grows until a malach above gives a command and hits it and says grow, and then it grows. Rav Enizal says, v'hako hu b'chinas smoil. We know that the term hako, to hit, is always an inyan of the left, and always an inyan of dim. Nimtza. What do we see from here? Shekol harufuois tluyim b'toyla. That all the whole power to cure is totally in the Torah. B'chinas, as the Pesuk says, u'lechol b'soroi marpe. The Pesuk in Mishlei is talking about the Torah, and the Pesuk says there that the Torah has the power to cure kol b'soroi, a person's entire body. Ki ha-Torah noisenes koyach l'hamalochim. What is it that gives koyach to the malochim? The Torah is what gives koyach to the malochim. V'hamalochim mashpien la'asabim. The malochim are mashpia v'schias into the grasses. V'asabim merapim b'koyach ha-Torah. And these grasses, when medicines are made from all types of herbs, these grasses are drawing their koyach from the Torah. The Torah gave koyach to the malach gives the koyach to the herbs, so it's in effect actually coming from the Torah. Now Rav Enizal says, a person who is poigim in emunas chachamim, a person who lacks emunas chachamim, who pirates gederam, and he breaks a fence of the chachamim. The Gemara says that the chachamim always set up fences around the Torah. What happens when a person breaks this fence? Azai ein refuah lamakosai. that this person has no cure to his illness. The Gemara says that what happens when a person it breaks a law of the Chachamim, ain refuah l'makosai. There's no cure to his sickness. Why? The Bechina says, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Dilmo chivya de rabbonon tarke she'ein lo yasvoso. The Gemara says over there that this guy got sick and he died. The Gemara says maybe he got bitten by the snake of the Rabbonon. Because we know that the snake of the Rabbonon, the snake which is Naikem Venoiter, when it comes to laws of the Rabbonon, is a snake which bites and there's no cure to the bite. Why? Rabbi Nizal says, Ki ha-pleirets g'deirom, one who breaks the fence of the Chachamim, al-yidezeh meisir ha-yadayim and ha-malochim. He removes the hands from the malochim. Lefi bechinas hasorosoi miderech divrei rabbonon. According to how much he turns away from the words of the Chachamim, he's actually weakening, destroying the power of these malachim. Rabbi Nizal is going to explain now why. What's the connection? Vezehu, as the Pasuk says in Chumash, when the Pasuk discusses listening to the words of the Chachamim, the Pasuk says, Loisosur min hadovar asher yagidu lecha yomin usmoil. When the Chachamim give orders, don't turn away from their words to the right or to the left. Rabbi Nizal says, therefore, l'fi b'chinois hasarosoi, what happens when a person does turn away? He goes too much to the right or too much to the left against the words of the Chachamim. Im sor min divrei rabbonon liyamin, if the person goes too much to the right, the rabbonon put up a boundary saying not to do a certain item, and he accepts it as being permissible. He's too much chesed. Boze sor yamin hamalach. By doing that, he weakens kaviyachol, the right hand of this malach, meaning the koyach of the malach to receive from Hashem, to draw chiyus. Ve'ein lo koyach lekabel, and thereby the malach doesn't have koyach to be mekabel. Ve'im sor l'smoil, what if the person goes too much din? A time there are halachas where the chachamim are matir, and a person says no, he wants to be extra machmir. You have certain rabbonim, you come to them with a shayla, and right away they say osur. Why? They don't know the halacha very well, so they figure if they'll say osur, they're covering all fences. And the Gemara says that's horrible. That's a person who's going too much to the left. Ve'im sor l'smoil, if the person turns to the left. By doing that, he weakens the left hand of the malach, meaning, ve'ein le'koyach la'ashpia. The malach loses his koyach to be mashpia. U'kishenifgam ezehu yad hamalach. And when either hand of this malach gets nifgam, gets affected, azai ein lezeho odom asboso. Then this person has no cure. Why? Ki zeho ezeh sheboi toloi refuosoi. These grasses, these herbs, these medicines, which could have normally cured this person, the person gets sick, he takes medicine that cures him. What is the medicine made of? Herbs. These herbs, which could have been used to cure his sickness, ain't like koyach l'rapos. These medicines don't have any, these herbs don't have any power to cure anymore. Why? Ki ein mashpia lo yamin malach, whose job it is to be mashpia to these grasses, he lost his koyach. When Hashem gave the Teichacha to Bnei Israel, when Hashem gives the whole Teichacha saying that if the Jews won't behave, Hashem lists off a whole load of klolos that will happen to them. And then Hashem says, and not only this, but the Jews will also be given Mako Asher Iksuva Bateira. They'll be given worse curses which aren't even written here. So the Gemara says, what is that referring to? The Gemara says, Zu Misas Tamid Chachamim. That refers to the Histalkus of Tzadikim. Hainu. Hamiso shehatalmid chacham meimisen ezehu adam. The miso which talmidei chachamim have the power to cause to a person, ki choyras havol adam al shavar al divrei rabbanon ein lo refuah v'hu meisman achoyras. Because we just said that a sickness which comes to a person who violates the words of the rabbanon, that's a sickness which has no cure. That's a makah for which there's no refuah, because he weakens the koyach of the malach to be mashpia refuah, because he's gone too much to the right or to the left. By doing that, he's weakened the right or the left of the malach who's mashpia refuah. Rabbi Nizal says, "Zeh hamisa bo al yedei makah asher lo iksuva b'Torah." What causes this misa? A makah that's not written in the Torah, meaning ki dvorim shelo nichtavu b'Torah nimsru lechachamim. Those items which aren't spelled out clearly in the Torah, those items of religion which aren't spelled out, who are the ones who notify about them? The Chachamim. Va'anachnu mitzuvim l'shmayamayhem. And we are commanded in the Torah to listen to the words of the Chachamim. The Torah, the Chumash itself says, Loisosur min adovar asher yagidu lecha yamin ismoil. Don't turn away from what the Chachamim will tell you to the right or to the left. Rabbi Elazar says, "V'yesh mishem ezalzal devrayim." There are people who mock the words of the Chachamim, ve'ein ma'amin devrayim, and a person doesn't believe their words. Why? Machmas shenit meloy, because it appears to this person shemedoy raiso enoy kein, that looking at the Chumash, it doesn't appear this way. The Karoim, they said that it says in the pasuk ureisem oisay by tzitzis, it says you should see them. That means hang them up on the wall. Where does it say anything about putting them, wearing them on your being? You have to hang up a pair of tzitzis on the wall. That's seeing the tzitzis. Or it says by tefillin v'hayu l'tatofa is beinenecho. Beinenecho means between your eyes, right over here. Why they said nechle b'mako shein l'rufua. A person who goes on this path gets hit with a makah for which there's no cure, or meispa, and a person could chas v'shem die from that. Rabbi Nezal says now, v'yesh yisurin shel ava, hasholtin al adam shehu tzadik. There is an item called yisurin shel ava, which is present on a person who is a tzadik, v'hu muka b'yisurin, and we find that he's attacked with yisurin, v'ein refuah saitele v'refuah sasabim. And his refuah isn't dependent at all on medicines. Why? Ki hu ish tzadik, v'loi poka mide amalach. Because he's a tzadik, he didn't affect the hands of this malach at all whatsoever. V'hayadayim heim shleimim. The yadayim of the malach, both the right and the left, are still showing. Rabbi Nezal says, v'zeh, this is pshat in the posik. With this we can understand, the whole posik in Shir HaShirim now becomes clear. The posik in Shir HaShirim that summarizes this whole thing. The posik says, Ki cholas ahavo oni, smoiloi tachas l'roishi, v'yaminoi techatkeni. Watch how Rabbi Nezal explains the posik. Hainu, cholas ahavo, when we see a person who's sick, but it's not your normal sickness, it's yisurin shel ahavo. It can appear on one person. His refuah is not totally in the hands of this malach, because the hands of the malach, as were affected by him, there was no problem. As the pasuk goes on to say, his left hand is under my head, and with his right hand he hugs me, meaning both hands are in proper position. There's no problem at all. There is this ava with Hashem. Elomai. The question is, number one, why does he get this sickness? And number two, how can a person rid himself of a sickness where his sickness wasn't brought about by this weakening of the Koyach HaMalach? This is what Rabbi Nezal is going to explain now. Rabbi Nezal is going to bring the case in the Gemara in Brachos of Rabbi Yochanan, who got sick, and how he was cured also by the hand. Yohiv le'yodeh, he gave him his hand, and he cured him. Rabbi Nezal is going to explain exactly how that refers to this. I once heard a shot, a little bombshell. What?
Oh, here's a book.
Just a second. I once heard a bombshell. Maybe the next time we learn, it's going to be during the week. An explanation at the moment, that's unbelievable.
You know what, right. Why didn't they want it's Yisur Sha'ava that they
had. Oh, no, that question is answered right over there. Why did, if it was Yisur Sha'ava, why didn't they want it? I think Taisvis or Rabbi Nechananel 100% brings it clearly. You recall when we were learning it, we looked for the answer to that question and the answer was given. What, you recall it offhand? Why they, in other words, if it was Yisrael Shalava, why did they want it?
And the blessing, they don't want the reward either. I mean, it's so strange.
I don't want them and I don't want the schar for them. There was a reason given, I recall in the learning that we came across it.
Instead of being intended that Malachim gave with the right and accepted from the left.
Right.
And that would be opposite of normal. Because, I mean, chesed,
Right. Rabbi Nezal's going to explain that soon. We're going to have that whole topic discussed soon. Why Bedafka they need the right to be Makabel and the left to be Mashpia. Mm-hmm. Because you can understand that a little bit, because in order to be Mashpia, put it this way. When a Rebbe, let's say we had a Rebbe, when a Rebbe is Mashpia to his Talmidim, is he Mashpia with the right or with the left? The answer is more with the left than with the right. Why? Because a Rebbe has so much knowledge. So much. How much can he give to his Talmidim? So much. We have the cases in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, who was the Talmid Muvok of Rabbi Ezra Godel, said that how much did I receive from my Rebbe? Like a drop in the ocean. And Rabbi Akiva said how much did I also, always like a drop in the ocean, meaning that when it comes to being Mashpia, The whole trick is Tzimtzum, only giving the slightest drop. The slightest drop compared to the knowledge that the one actually has. What about when he's receiving, when the one who's the Mashpia is receiving, there it's an meaning of opening up. He has to open his mouth to receive, to pour in. When he gives through his teeth. He gives tiny, tiny drops. But then it's also going to move to his own much more, and happen soon. And this player is where he's going to explain that whole concept of right and left clearly. To be continued. Now, Benazal says that each word that comes forth from Hashem creates a malach. And Benazal says each word, depending on how many syllables it is, creates smaller level malachim, over which there is one malach appointed who's a ruler over this group of malachim, called a machna of malachim. And Benazal brings the medrash which says that there isn't a single blade of grass on earth that grows until a malach from above strikes it and gives a command grow. So we see that the whole power of anything on earth to grow or to do anything, it draws its power from the malachim, and the malachim draw their power from the word of Hashem originally. And Rav Ezal says that these malachim, how does their drawing power work? Kaviyachol, with their right, they draw from Hashem. With their left, they're mashpia to earth. They send down shefa to earth. And Rav Ezal says this is why the concept of emunas chachamim is so important, having faith in chachamim, because when we find the Torah discussing the topic of emunas chachamim, the wording in the pasuk is lo sasur yomon esmoil, don't turn away to the right, lo sasur min hadavar asher yigidu l'chol yomon esmoil, whatever the chachamim will tell you, don't turn away from it to the right or to the left. We see a connection between this and that. By meaning that a person who is chas v'shalom playing in emunas chachamim, in either way, he tries to be less strict than the chachamim are, or more strict. Either one is considered a sin. If a person tries to be less or more strict than the chachamim are, he's being playing in the right or in the left. By doing that, he causes a pigam in this malach's right or left, meaning in the malach's power to draw from Hashem, or the power to be able to give to earth. And Rav Ezal says that this is why we understand that the Gemara says in many places that when a person breaks a law of the Chachamim, the Gemara says he gets bitten by the snake of the Chachamim, which has no cure to it. Why? Why bedafka breaking a law of the Chachamim is bedafka the item which gives you a sickness for which there's no cure? The answer is because it affects this malach by going against the right or the left in Emunas Chachamim, it affects this malach who's mashpia shefa to the grasses. We know that the grasses are from where all medicines come from. Most medicines are made from herbs, which are grasses. So if this malach is affected, automatically the medicinal power that comes from this malach is also affected. Rav Ezal says, with this we can understand... Then Rav Ezal says that there is a different type of suffering. There is what's known as Yisurin Shel Avo, the Gemara says. Suffering of Avo, where Hashem sends a tzaddik suffering for sometimes not because a tzaddik is bad or anything, but for certain specific reasons. And Rav Ezal says, in a case like that, this tzaddik's cure isn't dependent on the grasses, on medicines, or anything like that, because of the fact that he's a tzaddik. He wasn't plaguing him in any way against this malach whatsoever. Rav Ezal says that his refuah is not dependent on the hands of the malach. His refuah is dependent on something else completely. This is what he touched on. Then Rav Ezal says, Vizeh, now we're up to Vizehu. Rav Ezal says, with this we can understand the story that's brought in the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says, Kishebo Rabbi Yechanan letano shenech labisurim. One time when Rabbi Yechanan came to visit one of the Tanoim who was very sick at the time, Va'omar lo, and he said to him, Chavivin alecha yisurim, do you enjoy this suffering? Omar lo, he told him, Lo'hein v'lo'ischaron. I don't enjoy the suffering, and I don't enjoy the reward that comes with the suffering either. Because the Gemara says that a person who suffers Yisurin Shalava, that has the power to give him, a person can get a lot of Elam Haba for it, a lot of Gan Eden for it. He said, I don't want the suffering, and I don't want the reward that's attached to it. Omar lo, Rabbi Yechanan told him, Hav li yodech, give me your hand. The Gemara says, Yoav le'yodei, he gave him his hand, and ve'ikmuha, and he stood him up, he was completely cured. The Tana who was sick was completely cured. Rabbi Ezal says, what's the meaning behind this story? Rabbi Ezal says, ki Rabbi Yechanan sovar she'el yisurin hen yisurin shalavo. Rabbi Yechanan's first thought when he saw one of the Tanoim suffering was that this is obviously Yisurin Shalava. It's Yisurin which Hashem is sending to him for his benefit, and surely this Tana accepts it bi'ava. He's enjoying it. In other words, he doesn't mind it at all. V'zehu she'shu'alei say, this is why his first question was, Chaviven alecha yisurim, do you enjoy, are you willing to accept these yisurim, this suffering? She'shu'alei say, he asked him, im chaviv olav ha'yisurim, hainu im yisurim she'avohen. He was asking him, could you please clarify to me, do you feel that what you're going through right now is Yisurin Shalavo? And by the way, the Gemara in Brachas tells us how to be able to know whether when a person's suffering, is it Yisurin Shalavo or not. The Gemara says there's a machlekes between two Tanoim. One Tana says that the way a person can tell whether his suffering is Yisurin Shalavo is, if he sees that there's no bittul Torah coming from it, then he knows it's Yisurin Shalavo. Meaning, if a person gets sick, but it doesn't disturb his learning. He's still able to learn. He's suffering an illness, but it doesn't disturb his learning at all. That's a sign that it's Yisurin Shalavo. That's one opinion in the Gemara. Another opinion is that if we see that he doesn't lose out on any tefillah, there's no bittul tefillah, meaning if this person is accustomed to going to shul three times a day, and he is sick, but it's not a sickness that's enough to prevent him from going to shul, there he knows that it's Yisurin Shalavo. So his Rabbi Yechman's question to this Tana was, is this suffering that you're going through now Yisurin Shalavo? The Heshev Loi, so the Tana replied to him, Loi, it's not. As soon as Rabbi Yechman was told that this suffering is not Yisurin Shalavo, Choshav, he thought, Dilma Pogam Chas V'Shalom B'Yodayim Hanal. Maybe this Tana was plagued in some way in the hands of this malach. We said that any type of pegam in Emunas Chachamim would affect the hands of this malach, one hand which draws from the word of Hashem, one hand which provides for the world. So he was afraid maybe this Tana had been plagued in Emunas Chachamim. So b'shvil zeh ein lo refuah, and that's why he's suffering and there's no cure for his illness. This is why Rabbi Yechanan said to this Tana, Hav li yodech, give me your hand. Because Rabbi Yechanan was one of the Tanoim, he knew that by him looking at this person's hand, he would be able to tell whether this person had been plagued in any way in the hands of these malachim who are mashpiachis to the world. In order for him to be able to tell whether this Tana had been plagued in Amunas Chachamim or not. As soon as he gave him his hand, as soon as this Tana who was ill gave Rabbi Yechanan his hand, ukmuha, he stood him up. Because this suffering was not Yisurin Shalavo. True. However, and also this Tana who was suffering had not been plagued in the Yodayim at all. Therefore, Rabbi Yechanan was able to stand him up from his sickness, to stop the sickness immediately. In other words, if it was Yisurin Shalavo, Rabbi Yechanan would not have wanted to take away the illness from him, because it's only to his benefit. He asked him that, he said it's not that. If it was a pigam in the hands of the malach, if somehow there was a pigam in the Emunas Chachamim, then Rabbi Yechanan couldn't have cured the sickness if he wanted to, because the Gemara always says that a person who gets sick due to a pigam in Emunas Chachamim, that's a sickness for which there's no cure.
Ruby diamonds in the hands of the malach.
Right.
So is that Emunas Chachamim?
Because we said before that Emunas Chachamim is referred to as Leisosur Yomin Usmoil. Don't turn away from their words to the right or to the left, referring to a pigam in the right hand or in the left hand. You understand? So when he saw that it wasn't Yisurin Shalavo, plus it wasn't a pigam in Emunas Chachamim, he simply took away the sickness.
What was it then?
It was, we'll see soon. We're going to discuss the whole topic soon. But here, number one, Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal was meramis to him, that you're talking about one of the Tanoim here. What's pshat a pigam in Emunas Chachamim? A Tana, he was one of the Chachamim. What do you mean that he had a lack of Emunas Chachamim? And Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal spoke very roughly to him a few times, because the problem of Emunas Chachamim by Chachamim is that they're supposed to have Emunah in themselves. For example, the case of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was given the command, go down to Mitzrayim and take the Jews out, and at first he hesitated, that was a pigam in Emunas Chachamim in a sense. He didn't have faith in the fact that he was capable of carrying out this whole thing. We find also by the Meraglim, what was so evil about the Meraglim's pigam? They came into Eretz Yisrael, they saw big giants walking around, and the land was so tough, they came back saying that it's inconquerable. And the Torah says that what angered Hashem here so much Who asked you, who appointed you as leaders to say that you're the ones to conquer it? Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader at the time. You're saying that he can't conquer it? He's not capable? You saw him split the Red Sea. You saw him perform so many miracles before. Now you're losing faith in him? This is what angered Hashem so much at the time. Okay, so this is the point that Rabbeinu Zal is bringing out now.
How was Rabbeinu able to cure his children? Through his own zikos?
Exactly, period. Through his own saying stop, period. That tzaddik has that power. The Gemara shows cases where tzaddik performed chiyas hameisim, period, if he wants to. But first he studied to see, is it this or is it this? Meaning, if it's Yisurin Shelavo, then I don't want to take it away from him because it's to his benefit. If it's a pegam minus chachamim, then I can't do anything about it. I'm helpless. He saw it wasn't this. He corrected it in a second.
You're saying that it was caused because he didn't have enough emunah.
No. I'm saying that Rabbeinu Zal discusses what's pshat emunas chachamim by the tanaim or by tzaddikim. The answer is that they also have a test of emunas chachamim. They have to have faith in themselves. And Rabbeinu Zal says, by the way, that this applies to every Jew. The pasuk says, va'amech kulam tzaddikim. Every Jew is referred to as a bechinas tzaddik, and every Jew has to have faith in himself. Rabbeinu Zal said that where do most people make a mistake? Rabbeinu Zal says people see that they commit 1,000 sins, and they feel they've fallen so low that that's the end, period. Rabbeinu Zal says, in tamen, if you believe that you're capable of destroying, that you're capable of committing sins which cause tremendous destruction, then you have to automatically be willing to accept the fact that you're capable of correcting it. The same one who is capable of causing so much damage can correct so much. It's logical. If you can destroy it, you can correct it also. It's totally in you.
What do you mean by pegam and emunah chachamim exactly? What's the...
I gave certain examples now. For example, the case of the Maraglim. Or any type of lack of faith in tzaddikim, faith in chachamim, in the words of chachamim, that every single word that's written in the Gemara is Torah min Hashemayim, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, and it's fact, period.
So somebody doesn't listen to a tzaddik emeth on this world, that's pegam min emunas chachamim.
Of course.
And could that be corrected while he's still living?
Of course. Well, as long as he's still breathing, he can correct anything.
Then okay. Why didn't the Meraglim, why weren't they able to do tshuva? Why weren't they allowed to do tshuva?
Because you see the wording that's used there, that when it comes to emunas hachamim, there's two types of problems. There's leisos or yomim or smile. And they got burnt with both ways. What happened was they came back, they gave the bad report, and then if you recall, Yahushua got up, and he said, you think that that's... And they started talking against Moshe Rabbeinu because the Meraglim came back, they gave this whole bad report, and then they said, you know who's the cause of all of this nonsense? Moshe Rabbeinu, why didn't he just leave us alone when we were in Egypt, we had it better and everything? So then they started going on like this, and they were preparing a lynch mob for Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Chumash says that Yahushua got up, and he used reverse psychology. He knew that if he would get up and say, shut up, you're all wrong, let me tell you the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, they would have killed him before he had a chance to speak. So what did he do? He said, you guys think you know bad things about Moshe Rabbeinu? Listen to me, listen to what I have to say. And they heard that Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest student get up and start talking like that. They figured, oh boy, if he's going to start saying Lashon Hara, imagine what kind of package he has to say. So they all got quiet, and then he opened up with a barrage against them. He shut everybody up, and he embarrassed everybody good and well. He reminded them of who Moshe Rabbeinu was, and he restored their confidence. However, a Rasha either goes, he doesn't listen at all, or he listens too much. So what happened? They said, oh, you're right, we made a mistake. Okay, we're going immediately, we're going to go conquer Eretz Yisrael. They set out immediately. Hashem told, Moshe Rabbeinu told them, everybody sit down and wait till I give the word. When I give the word, that's when you go. They didn't listen, they ran right away. They went up to go do battle against the Kanan and everything. And the Torah says that the Kanan came out and they wiped them to pieces. Why? Again, because a pegam and emunas chachamim is, if a person doesn't listen to them, that's a sin. And if a person listens too much, meaning, in other words, he says, well, if the chachamim say, for example, if the chachamim say, if the shear of moror is so much, well, I want to eat this much just to make sure I'm yaitzei. And then he kills himself, he commits suicide. Can we say that he was a machmir or he was an idiot?
So they were fighting in both ways.
Exactly. And that's why they got killed. In other words, if they would have simply just corrected it at that point, they... And the pasuk says that Hashem grabs a rasha sometimes. He doesn't wait till he gets old and decrepit and sick. Hashem grabs him when he's strong and he's full, he's in his full strength. Hashem grabs him, puts him in a grave, and the guy doesn't even believe that he's dead. Like, in other words, it comes as such a shock to him. Hashem just throws him in, and that's it. The wording in the pasuk is Umoshach Abirim Bekoichoi. Hashem takes strong ones with his power, Yokum Vloyamin Bechayov. And they don't even believe of their life, meaning they don't even believe that this has happened to them, that Hashem has taken them with such power and destroyed them. Rabbi Nizal says, note the wording though, Yokum Vloyamin Bechayim. They don't have faith, they don't believe of their life. They don't believe what happened to their life. Rabbi Nizal is going to explain this a little differently. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki al yedei she'ein ma'amin b'talmidei chachomim, hanikroim chayim, when a person has a lack of faith in chachomim, who are called chayim, tzadikim are called chayim, kama yishamro chazal, as the Gemara says in Brochos, u'benayahu ben Yehoyada ben Ishchai, benayahu ben Yehoyada was a man who was alive, ben Ishchai, and Rashi HaKadosh brings over there that this refers to the fact that he's a tzadik, because we know that about tzadikim, the Gemara always says that tzadikim, afilu b'misasam kruim chayim, a tzadik is considered alive even when he physically dies, whereas Rishoim, even while they're alive, they're considered dead. So when we talk about chayim, we're talking about tzadikim. Rabbi Nizal says, "Sadikim afilu b'misasam nikroim chayim al yedei zeh hu noifel b'cholas asher lo yamin b'chayov." When a person is pagim and munas chachamim, he falls into a type of sickness where he doesn't believe of his life. He doesn't believe that there's any chance of him coming out of it alive. Hainu she'ein shum odo mamin sheyichya michol zeh. People don't believe that he's going to come out of this sickness alive. Because this type of sickness, there's no cure for. Now Rabbi Nizal says, how do you correct this? A person who is lacking in Emunas Chachamim, what does he do to correct it? The correction for this is, Sheyokum Emuno Hanefula. That a person should stand up this fallen Emuna, V'yamin Emunas Chachamim, and he should start having faith in the Chachamim. This is why the pasuk says, Yokum Veloyamin Bechayim. He should stand up, he should correct this Veloyamin, this lack of faith, Bechayim, in the Chachamim. Hainu, Ze Sheloyamin Bechachamim, Hanikroim Chayim, this person who was lacking faith in the Chachamim, who are referred to as Chayim, Yokum Zeisu Emuna Hanafula. He should correct this Emuna Hanafula. And by doing that, he'll be able to get himself out of this fatal type of sickness, where he got so sick to the point where no person believed that there was any cure for his sickness anymore. Through his emuna, the emuna will cure him. Because as we said before, that the correcting the Emunas Chachamim is what corrects the two hands, the right and left hand of these Malachim. And these Malachim draw and provide koyach to the grasses in order to provide medicinal powers. The word abirim means strong ones. The word abirim is used in Navi sometimes to refer to malachim. Malachim have supernatural strength. Kol echod v'echod. Lachzer loy koichoi. Meaning, in order to be mamshich, koyach, into the abirim, in order to restore the power of these malachim, to generate curative powers into the grasses that they're appointed over. Hainu kofches pirchin diadayim. Why kofches pirchin diadayim? Why is the word koyach used? Because the word koyach refers to the hands. We know that the word for hand is yad. The Hebrew word for hand is yad. Why? Because if you study the hand has on it exactly 14 parts. 3, 6, 9, 12, 13, 14. The hand has on it 14 sections. Twice yad is begematria koyach. So now, umoshach abirin bekoichoi, he draws into the abirin, into the malochim, this power of koyach, this correction of both hands. Umamshichim shefa lechol advorim shenis manu aleihem. And then these malochim provide shefa to all the items that they were appointed over. And then this person is able to have a refuah. כי דברי חכמים עושים ומסכנים בחינס הידיים כנעל. Because having אמונה חכמים, having אמונה in the Torah שבעל פה, in the Gemara, and in the words of חכמים, that's what draws, that's what corrects the hands, and that's what enables a person to be able to have refuah l'makosai. By the way, Rebbe Zal once mentioned that this whole first paragraph here is merumas in a very, very simple pasuk in Tehillim. Rebbe Zal start off by saying that where do the malachim draw their koyach from?
From the Torah.
From the Torah. What do we start off with? Da'ki kol dibur v'dibur sheyaytzei mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu nevorim mimimach. What is the Torah? The Torah is the words of Hashem. But what is it that gives these malachim power? Hashem's dibur, the Dvar Hashem. This is what's meant in the pasuk which we say in davening every day, Yishlach devoroi v'ir po'im. Hashem sends his words, and with that he cures. V'malait mishchisoysom, and he rescues a person from shachas, from gehenem chas v'shalom, from fatal sickness. The first letters of Yishlach devoroi v'ir po'im is the word yodoi, his hand. That where do we see this? Where does the Dvar Hashem, what does the Dvar of Hashem go into in order to provide this cure? The answer is it's a three-step procedure. It starts off with the Dvar Hashem. That's what's mashpia to the malachim. And the malachim are mashpia this koyach into the grasses, so that when a person takes medicine, the medicine takes effect, takes the proper effect. What if a person, Rabbi Nezal, in the first time of the Gemara Tanina, discusses bypassing the middleman? If a person could be zeichet to the Dvar Hashem, then he's able to draw his refuah direct from the Dvar Hashem. Rabbi Nezal explains how through his pleitus, through tefillah, a person actually draws upon himself the Dvar Hashem.
What's the end of the pasuk Yishlach devoroi v'ir po'im
v'malait mishchisoysom.
So, and how does he add the yodoi fit in to show you? What do you want to show you?
The hand. That Yishlach devoroi, he sends his dibur and he cures. Where does he send the dibur to? The answer is the dibur is sent into the hands of the malachim, into the right and left of the malach, the right with which the malach receives the koyach to cure, the left with which he injects this koyach into the grasses. You understand?
What is the, you said Yishlach devoroi v'ir po'im is Rosh Tevis Yodoi.
Yeah, right.
So this shows the power of the, where does it fit in exactly?
But it's all totally in the Yodayim. Yodayim is Emunas Chachamim.
We spoke about before,
exactly.
And also this power of the Malachim, that whole
exactly,
thing.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay. And so, because you skip over
through,
which part?
Through the Malachim, you bypass the Malachim. Where are the Malachim getting their power from? From the Dvar Hashem, right? When a person is Mispalel, who gives him the Diburim to Davin? A person asks Hashem, Hashem, please give me... what do we say when we start off the Shemoneh Esrei? Adonai Sefosai Tiftach Ufi Yagit Ilosecha. Hashem, please, you open up my mouth and give my mouth the power to speak your praises, which means Tefillah is actually the Dvar Hashem.
So you're actually skipping not just the malachim, but the herb also.
Exactly,
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. You're knocking out two steps of the procedure, you're going straight to the top. And this is why when a person gets sick, what's the most important ingredient? Tefillah, above everything. And this also explains the whole concept of the Tikkun HaKlali. Rabbi Nezal said that the Gemara says that there are 10 types of sicknesses, right? There are basically, the Gemara says, 10 different types of sicknesses. What's the cure for these 10 sicknesses? The 10 types of Negina, the 10 musical notes that are found in the Hebrew alphabet, the 10 Nekudais, those are the cure for these. This is also Marumas Nis Yishlach Devoroi V'ir Po'im, because the first letters are the word Yud. Yud Vav Dalet is Yud, referring to the 10 types of song, the 10 chapters of the Tikkun HaKlali, which have the power to cure any physical or spiritual type of sickness. Any kind of sickness, any kind of pigam, and emunas chachamim, or anything else that a person has, this is the tikkun for it. There's a lot more to say. You'll see it now. Rabbi Nezal, if you note, the next paragraph, Rabbi Nezal begins, Ula hokim emuna hanafula. Now, okay, we know that it's dependent on emunas chachamim. If a person is poigin emunas chachamim, this is what happens. Now the question is, how do you actually correct emunas chachamim, which is a major item. But Rabbi Nezal is going to go into a whole discussion now explaining how that's done. This is what we'll continue with next time.